We turn in God's Word this morning to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, a beautiful and powerful passage of the Word of God. This morning we'll be focusing on verse 11 of that chapter. Because of the beauty and the power of the passage, I'll be reading the entire chapter. So Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thus far, we read God's holy and inspired word. Text this morning is verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Let's pray. Father, we come to this part in our worship where we hear the preaching of Thy Word. And we are thankful for Thy Word. We confess that we do not live by bread alone, but we live by every word that proceeds out of Thy mouth. So we're thankful for the Holy Scriptures, and we're thankful for this passage of Holy Scripture, for the comfort that it brings to us, even as it has brought comfort to Thy people for generations and ages already. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou would speak powerfully through Thy servant to us today, giving us hope and comfort in the knowledge that Thou art our shepherd through Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. And so we pray that as parents we may be comforted, but also that we together as a congregation would be comforted under this word that we hear this morning. Give strength to Thy servant as He brings it to us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a certain sense, the climax of Isaiah 40 is the end of verse 9, where we read, "Behold your God." The word "behold" simply means see. See your God. That's the word of God to us this morning. See your God. Behold Him. The passage sets before us the greatness and majesty of God as the holy God. And the passage does that for the hope and comfort of God's people. You see, in the beginning chapters of the book of Isaiah, the prophet is declaring to the people of Judah the judgment of God, a real judgment that would come upon them, captivity in Babylon for 70 years because of the greatness of their sin, because of their idolatry, because of their worldliness. And no doubt the people of Judah were fearing under the word of that judgment. But then God brings to them a word of comfort, and He says in the midst of that, and really right here at the beginning of that, because chapter 40 is the beginning of the section on comfort, He says, "Behold your God." See Him as He really is. So He's saying to the people of Judah, when you're in the captivity and you're experiencing the consequences of your sins, remember, behold your God. When you're taken from your homes and you're taken to the strange land, behold your God. And when you're so despairing in that land and they ask you to sing the songs of Zion and you cannot because of your weeping and despair, He says, behold your God. And that's what God comes and says to us this morning as well in all the hardships and difficulties of our lives. Behold your God. That doesn't take away all of our pain and suffering, but it teaches us that in the midst of our troubles and hardships, we have one who knows us and one who loves us. And so we behold our God this morning, and not all things about our God, of course, but one thing very specific. We behold that He is our shepherd. So the end of verse 9, behold your God. Then verse 10, behold, see, it begins that way. Behold, here he is. The Lord God will come with strong hand and his arm shall rule for him. There it's setting forth the power and the sovereignty of God. And now in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Behold your God this morning, that he is your shepherd and we are sheep who belong to his flock. The word of God in this passage before us points us to Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. In Jesus Christ himself, we see most fully what it means that God is our shepherd. In him, we see God's great goodness and love for us. We see that he is a God in Jesus Christ who holds us, who carries us, who holds our children in his very arms, and he gently leads those who are with young. How important that is this morning for us to know that, especially in the light of the sacrament this morning of baptism and in the light of the impression that is made upon us of the high calling that we have as parents in teaching our children. We do have a high calling in caring for our children and teaching them in God's ways. That calling is impressed upon us in a powerful way by the sacrament of baptism. That third question that these parents answered this morning and that we as parents have answered, and well, and really what we do as a congregation, we will give our utmost, we will do our utmost to see that our children are trained according to the truth of God's Word in that truth. To the utmost of our power, we will do that. But we understand how weak we are in carrying out this calling that God gives to us. Not only that, but Satan and the wicked world are constantly attacking us and attacking our homes, attacking our marriages, attacking our children, these little lambs. But in the midst of all of that, we're pointed to God. Behold your God. He is the shepherd, and we belong to his flock. In all of the difficulties and hardships of that work and calling, we understand and know that our children are held in the arms of Jesus Christ, even here on this earth. And one day when they're taken to heavenly glory, they're held in his arms. And God our Father, our shepherd, is leading us as well. So with that in mind, we consider the text under the theme, shepherding his flock. Notice first the helpless sheep, secondly the caring shepherd, and then finally the glory given. Here in the text, the church is compared to a flock of sheep. Parents here within the church are compared to sheep. And then the children of the church, they are compared to lambs. God has given us this beautiful picture of the church, and he's done that all for the glory of his name. So when we understand that we are sheep and that he is a shepherd, this magnifies and glorifies the shepherd. And we're going to come to that at the end of the sermon this morning. But it's good for us to have that set before us right at the beginning as well. But God is the one who has given this picture for the glory of his name. And that even goes back to the days when God created, the creation week. And on the sixth day, God created sheep. Now, we don't know that specifically, but that was the day when God created the beasts that walk upon the earth. And one of those beasts that God created was a sheep. And God created the sheep to be a certain way. And God did that with this in mind, that sheep would be used in the scriptures as a picture of who we are, and then a shepherd who takes care of those sheep would be used as a picture of himself. And so we see and understand some things that are true of sheep, because those things that are true of sheep picture what is true of us. The main thing is this: sheep are helpless. And because sheep are helpless, they are completely dependent upon the shepherd. And so that's a picture of us. We are helpless of ourselves, and we are completely dependent upon our good shepherd. We see that in three ways this morning. The first way is this: sheep are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. They were not created by God with anything that they can use to defend themselves. They don't have fangs like a bear to take a bite out of someone. They don't have claws like a lion that they can take a swipe at something that would attack it. They don't have a stinger like a scorpion to protect it. They don't have a shell like a turtle. They don't have the ability to run like a deer or a gazelle to escape the predator who is attacking them. Sheep are helpless because they are defenseless. All the sheep will do when it's being attacked is bleat. Maybe it'll run a little bit, but it has no way to get away from the predator. It needs a shepherd to protect it, to care for it constantly. A sheep is not able to defend itself from a predator that comes against it. And if that's true of the adult sheep, then even more so is that true of the lamb. The lamb has no means of defense. That's a picture of us. That's true of us when it comes to the attacks of Satan and the sinful world. Of ourselves, we are prey. And we have no way to defend ourselves. Unless, of course, the Good Shepherd is working and He is changing us and He is working in us and He's defending us and He is protecting us. We need Him. The second thing we see in regard to sheep as being helpless is that they are prone to wander. That's the way sheep are. God created sheep that way. They put their nose to the ground and they follow their nose to find grass that they need. They're concerned with filling their own bellies. And as they wander off looking for grass or wander off just going wherever they want to go, they have no sense of direction. Sometimes there are dogs or cats, you hear the stories about them, that they're taken miles away or even states away from their home and they find their way back. Sheep could never do that. They're prone to wander, and once they wander off, there's no returning on their own. But it's not just that they're prone to wander, but as they wander off, that brings them into all kinds of trouble. Then they're especially susceptible to attack by predators. But it's not just that. But also they can wander off and fall off of a cliff, or they can wander off and eat what's poisonous for them. They'll drink water that is full of parasites and will hurt them and make them ill. Or they can stop and get turned over on their backs. And if a sheep gets turned over on its back, it has no way of turning itself over. It can actually die because it fell over on its back. Sheep are prone to wandering, and they get themselves into all kinds of trouble when they do. Picture of us. We are prone to wander in our sins. We find ourselves entangled in sin, and our children also leads to all kinds of danger, all kinds of trouble, and in the end to the wrath of God. But the third part of this is that sheep also are naive. They are clueless. Isaiah 53 even speaks of that when it's speaking of our Savior Jesus Christ and that He went as to the cross as a sheep to the slaughter. The idea of that is that a sheep doesn't sense danger. Yes, they're skittish, but they really don't sense when there is real danger for them. So if a predator is lurking nearby, they have no sense really of that. They are clueless. And then when it comes to being slaughtered, they have no sense that when they're being led to the slaughter, that that's actually what is happening. They will just blindly go, willingly go to the slaughter, to their own death, when that is right before them and all the signs are there that that is what is going to happen. Reminds us a little bit of our children when they're very small, right? They don't have a sense of danger. And that's why we put those little things in the electric sockets of our homes, especially if we've got very curious children, because they know they're going to maybe put their tongue or their two fingers and they'll give themselves a shock because they play with that electrical outlet. Or they don't sense the danger of steps when they're beginning to crawl, and so we put those gates in front of the steps so they don't tumble down the steps. So that's the way sheep are, and we are that way spiritually as well. We're clueless when it comes to sin. We often don't see the danger of sin. We don't see it lurking. We don't see what Satan is doing. We think, well, this is just something small. It's little. It's not a big deal. And so we and our children are clueless concerning the dangers of sin. So we see in this way that sheep are helpless. They're helpless because they're defenseless. They're helpless as sheep who wander off. They are helpless as they are naive and clueless. This describes Judah at the time when this was written, and this describes the church as well. When God created sheep to be a picture of us, it was not meant to be a flattering picture, a flattering comparison. We are helpless and dependent upon the Good Shepherd. That was true of Judah at this time when this word was written. Judah was helpless. Judah was in need of the care of the shepherd because of her sin. It was true because of the captivity that was coming for them, prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. God was declaring to them in the first 39 chapters of the book the captivity that would come in Babylon. And God was saying to them that it would be awful. They would be driven from their land. The city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. The temple would be destroyed. They would be far away from their homes and far away from the temple as well. And there was nothing they could do about it. The last kings of Judah thought they could. And they were angry when the prophet Jeremiah said, "No, just go along with it. When Nebuchadnezzar comes and his army comes, don't fight. Just surrender. Because this is going to happen." And they wouldn't do it, and they thought they could fight, and they thought they could keep it off, but they couldn't. They were helpless. This was going to happen. And in the captivity in Babylon, there was no way for them to escape. This was going to happen, and they were going to stay there. They would be in that bondage, in that captivity in Babylon. And then when they were there, they lived in the midst of an anti-Christian, anti-God culture. We know about that from the book of Daniel especially. And they were helpless to defend themselves from the enemies there in that land. They would be hated by God because they would live in the midst of a people who hated God and His cause. They would face grave dangers. They were helpless there in that captivity. Beloved, we see something then that is true for us and for our children. We're like sheep. We're prone to wander. And we're prone to leave the God who we love. We're prone to wander off in our sin. Our children are born the same way. That's what we said this morning and heard this morning. That our children are conceived and born in sin. That tells us that this is the way that they are prone. They're prone to that sin. They're prone to wander off. And we know that we have that same sinful nature. It's not just our children. We all have that nature. We too are prone to wander off. And we are defenseless against this world. It's not just we are physically weak, but spiritually we are weak. We face predators in this world, the devil and the ways of sin in this world. And the predators are seeking to destroy us. Satan is that roaring lion seeking to destroy us as well. And we're defenseless. Our children are defenseless of themselves. And we know that as we live in this world. And so all of that drives us to behold our God. We only behold Him rightly when we understand ourselves rightly, that we are helpless sheep who are in need of this good shepherd. So we take the time then this morning to look at the caring shepherd. God is that shepherd. But God is that shepherd in Jesus Christ. It's striking that in the Old Testament you come across this idea of God being a shepherd for His people. Psalm 23 is the most familiar reference. It's the shepherd's psalm. But we come across this idea in other places as well. Psalm 77. It speaks of God leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and to the promised land. And it says there that God led them like a flock through the hand of Moses and Aaron. And we're going to sing that at the end of our worship this morning, that psalm. There's Psalm 80 that we sang just a few moments ago. Great shepherd who leadest thy people in love. Psalm 80 refers to God as the shepherd of his people. And now here in Isaiah 40 verse 11, we read of that again. But all of that is pointing ahead to the fullest revelation of God as shepherd in Jesus Christ. The beautiful word to us this morning is that we and our children, according to God's sovereign goodwill, we belong to our faithful and good shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's comfort. In that we find comfort this morning. How beautiful that is this morning to see and to know that. That points us to the very language of Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're just about up to that. In the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 1 again. I'm not sure exactly when, but we're starting over in the Heidelberg Catechism. But you know the words of that familiar answer. What's our only comfort in life and in death? Well, it's this. I don't belong to myself, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The word to us this morning is that we belong to this faithful Savior, this faithful Shepherd, our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And when we say that we belong to Him, we're not just possessions. It's the language of love. It's the language of fellowship. He loves us and He cares for us in His love. We see that in the very fact that He redeemed us from our sins. We see that in the very fact that He is leading us and guiding us in this life. Like Jehovah would take care of His people in Babylon and He would lead them back to Jerusalem, so is also our God in the midst of this world is leading us and guiding us, taking us to our heavenly home whenever it is the time that we are brought to our heavenly home. John 10 speaks of that, that our Savior Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. And there's no man that can pluck us out of the hand of this good shepherd because his hand is powerful. This is the shepherd that we must see this morning. But what we want to see and understand is that he is the shepherd not only of the sheep, but Isaiah 40 verse 11 makes very clear that he is also the shepherd of the lambs. The lambs are included in the church and in the flock of God. The baptism form speaks of this as well, saying that children are included in the church and the covenant of God. They're included in the covenant of God, meaning they're included in the church of God. Children are, the lambs of the church are. That's what we've said this morning by baptizing these two infants and by baptizing the infants that are born into the church. We're saying that these children, they belong to the church and to the covenant of God. That children belong to the covenant and church of God. Now that's important to understand in our day because many deny this. They say that the lambs don't belong to the church. Now that might not be what they say outwardly in their speech, but we know that there are many churches today who do not practice infant baptism. They practice only believer baptism. That means that they will baptize only those who make a confession of their faith. Only then will they baptize that one who has been coming to church already for many years. But by practicing that, they are saying that those children do not belong in the covenant or the church of God. They're saying children really don't. So if the flock is only made up of sheep, it's not at all made up of lambs. But that brings out this question. When it comes to these children and all of our children, how is it that one belongs to the church of God, or what determines how it is that one belongs in the church of God? The answer of the Baptist is, well, it's believing. When they believe, then they're part of the flock and of the church. But that's not the answer of the Word of God. What determines this? Well, what determines this is God's sovereign good pleasure. It's election. God chooses His children from all eternity in Jesus Christ to be part of a flock, to be part of the church. And God doesn't simply choose many different individuals, but He chooses individuals to be part of His church. God is pleased to save a man and a woman, work in their hearts that they are believers. And then when they get married, normally He gives them children. Not always, but usually He gives them children. And then those children, they are baptized and they grow up within the church and they hear the preaching of the Word and they come to faith and to believe in Jesus Christ as well. That's the normal way that God works in the line of generations. He chooses and He works in the line of generations. And so, He gives His grace in the hearts of children so that a lamb is as much a part of the flock as the sheep are part of that flock. And because we know this, this is why we baptize our children. We don't believe that by baptism, that's what makes them part of the flock. The baptism doesn't do it. It's God in His grace. And thus God, He feeds them. He gives them what they need. And that's why we even bring our children to church when they're able to be in church. Even when they're very young, because they understand, they hear the Word of God. We want them under the Word so that they are fed, believing that they are lambs who will be fed by God, even in the preaching of the gospel. What a comfort that is for us to know that children are part of the flock because of God's sovereign grace. We don't know, of course, who are those children of God until they're older, until they manifest that and show that in their lives. And what a comfort that is. What a comfort that is no doubt for Tim and Lacey and for others as well who have lost children in death, to know that those children belong to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. To have that hope and that comfort of the way that God works in the line of generations. So we have hope and comfort if we have these children for a very short time here on this earth. And how many women aren't there who have had children in their womb and they lost those children before they got to hold that child? Or others who have had children for years and then they lost them in death. Whatever the circumstances may be, we have these children for a short time or a long time. The Word of God comes to us and says this morning, they belong to the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is the Shepherd of His sheep and also the lambs. But not only do we see then that Jesus Christ is the Shepherd of the sheep and the lambs, but the text emphasizes what the Good Shepherd does. Notice the verbs there. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. First of all, we begin with the beginning of the passage. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. That word feed there doesn't mean just giving them good grass that they can eat. But it has to do with everything that a shepherd does in the care of his sheep. The word means literally to pasture, to take good care of, or to tend the flock. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, does this. He takes care of his flock. He tends to his flock. Remember, the flock is helpless. Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, gives to that flock everything that they need. That's what a good shepherd would do in these days. He would take care of the sheep and provide everything that they needed. Defense, good grass, clean water, rest for them so that they felt safe and secure. Jesus Christ, He provides all that we need. He's able to do that. It's because of His great power. It takes us back to verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. There we see the power of God revealed in Jesus Christ. And kids, there's a picture of that in the Old Testament. Remember when David was just really a young man, not fully grown yet. He came to Saul and he was going to go fight against Goliath. He was willing to go and fight against the giant Goliath. And Saul said, no, you can't go. You're just a boy. And then David recounted to Saul how it was that in the defense of his sheep, he was able to fight off a bear and fight off a lion and kill them to defend the sheep that God had put under his care. Now, God gave him strength and the ability to do that. But in that, we see a picture of Jesus. Our Savior Jesus Christ is not afraid of the enemies that we face. He's not afraid of the danger that we face. He is a tender shepherd who is also powerful to take care of us. And so we see that in Jesus Christ, He is powerful to save. He doesn't run away from the enemy. That's very clear in the work that He did on the cross. He didn't run from the cross. He went there. And He took upon Himself what was so painful and hurtful for Him, the very wrath of God in our place. But we also see this morning the tenderness of our shepherd. The tenderness of our shepherd, and that's revealed in the care of the lambs. It says that He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. I read that shepherds in this day were known for taking such good care of the lambs. So that right after those lambs were born, they would clean off the afterbirth on those lambs. And after doing that, they might, if it was very cold outside, take that lamb and tuck that lamb right inside their robe and carry that lamb as the sheep were moving, or sleep with that lamb nearby to keep that lamb warm after it was just born. If it had sores on it, he would put salve on those sores. That shepherd would provide everything that that little lamb needed to keep that lamb warm and cared for. That's a beautiful picture of how it is that the good shepherd takes care of the needs of his sheep and also of the lambs. Psalm 23 speaks of that we read earlier. He's the shepherd who gives us green pastures, cool, refreshing water that we may drink. He's that kind of shepherd. He takes care of the needs of his people. All of that's a picture of what the good shepherd Jesus Christ then does for us. He cares for us. He cares for us perfectly. And if there's any doubt about that in our lives, all we have to do is look to the cross. John 10, it says that He laid down His life for His sheep and for His lambs. He took on Himself the punishment for all our sins, and He brings us into the warmth of the covenant of God and the warmth of fellowship with God. He does that for His people, and therefore we know that He will give to us everything that we need in this life. Children and young people, you need to know that this morning. This isn't just for you, but you are lambs growing into sheep here in the flock, in the church. And there may be things in your life as children and young people that worry you. Things that you are afraid of. Do you have anything that you're afraid of right now as you think about today or you think about the future? Or have there been times when you were very afraid? This is what we need to know then, that our shepherd, He loves us. He loves you. He will not run away when danger comes, but He's the shepherd who stays close. He's the shepherd who's holding you in His arms, and He's the shepherd who will give to you everything that you need. Knowing that then, children and young people, pray to Him. Know that God in Jesus Christ will hear your prayer, and He will give to you those things that you need. Trust in Him and pray to Him. Don't be afraid, because He will take care of you. parents, there's a word of comfort for us as well this morning. That's the end of the verse. It says, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We need this encouragement this morning because even as parents, we are sheep. We are sheep. We like to think at times that we have it all together. And maybe we would like to give the perception to others that we have it all together. And we arrive here at church on Sunday morning, we're all dressed in our finest. We all have smiles on our face. But it wasn't long before that there weren't smiles on the face trying to get everybody out to the van or trying to get everybody to the breakfast table in the morning or in the bathroom on Sunday morning trying to get ready for church. And things were kind of hairy and things were testy there. We don't always have it all together, do we? We know that from how things can go on a daily basis. Maybe one of the kids wakes up in one of those moods. And right away, he's combative and he's hitting his sister or he's saying no to mom and everything that she says to him. And it's going to be a long day. And dad comes home exhausted after a long day of work as well. And he hears what's been going on at home and then he blows his stack. And before you know it, because dad's maybe not stepping in like mom thinks he should and mom didn't have everything ready like the husband thinks should be ready when he comes home for work, then they're giving each other the silent treatment and the cold shoulder and all of the rest, and they're getting kind of testy towards each other, and things are a mess, and slowly they all go downhill, and then we're sitting around the supper table trying to be peaceful, quiet. We don't have it all together as parents. We need to know that as we carry out the great calling we have of teaching and instructing our children, we need to know that we have a shepherd who is merciful to us only, also. He gently leads those who are with young. We need to know that in the calling that we have as parents, we must be committed to teaching our children. We must be committed to the spiritual lives of our children. We bring them to worship. We have family worship with them in our homes. We must be committed to that. Bringing the Word of God to our children to teach them, to mold them and shape them. We must be committed to sending our children to the Christian schools, knowing that there they will be taught in a way which is consistent with what they're taught in the church and what is taught in our homes as well. We're willing to sacrifice so that these things are done. So we come to church on Sunday, so we send our children to the Christian schools so that we have family worship. We'll put off other things so that these things are being done in our homes. But it's not easy to do that. We're weak. We are helpless. And the promise here is the Good Shepherd gives us strength so that we can carry out this work and this calling. We need Him to lead those who are with young. One of the greatest dangers for us as parents is to think we do have it all together and our pride to think that and we just get through it. Instead of learning how dependent we are upon the Good Shepherd and then learning to reflect the tenderness and the care of our Good Shepherd. But we see and understand this morning as we see this care of the Good Shepherd and the love of the Good Shepherd is why God cares for us. Why would He care for us as sheep? Why would He lead us with such care? Well, in the end, He does this for the glory of His name. But let's see and understand how this is done for the glory of His name. What stands out here in the text is the gentleness and the tenderness of the Good Shepherd. Remember, behold your God. What is God like? Sometimes we might have a wrong view of God. We understand and know that God hates sin. He's not pleased with sin. But sometimes in seeing our sin, we can only think of God as someone who's displeased, maybe as someone who's angry. Now, He does hate sin, there's no doubt about it. God is a God of justice and God is a God of anger and wrath. But we see and understand that towards His people, He's a God of tenderness and mercy. Do you see and know God that way? Parents, do you see and know God that way? Children, do you see and know God that way? And sometimes the struggle for us is that the people in our lives don't reflect that very well. As parents, we need to learn to reflect that. Grandparents. We have to do that in our marriages as well, reflecting the tenderness and the mercy of the Good Shepherd. But there are times when we don't do that very well. But this is the truth about God we see here in this passage. He's tender and He's caring. Our God takes care of us, every one of His sheep. And He is aware of exactly what we need. And He meets those needs He has in Jesus Christ and by the work of His Spirit. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, redeems and purchases us. And that blood and that work of Jesus Christ is taking care of all of our sins. For the lambs that are His, and for the sheep that are His. And there are some members that are weaker and some members that are stronger. And even though that's true, there's no distinction when it comes to God. Because we all, no matter where we are and what we do, we're in need of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we have a perfect righteousness alone in Him. And this Good Shepherd, He takes care of every one of our needs. Every need you have, He meets. Maybe it seems like that's not true. Maybe you don't feel that. Whether you feel it or not, the Word of God says this is true. He takes care of every one of the needs of His sheep. Why does He do that? It's not because of you. It's not because you're so great as a sheep. No, the sheep, the figure of sheep and lambs reminds us it's not about us. It's not about what we have done. But instead, it's for the glory of His name. I'm not sure that there's a figure in all of Scripture that reveals the glory of God, the greatness of God, the majesty of God, so much as this figure of shepherd and sheep. It's not to take away from any other the other pictures or figures that there are, but this one is amazing. And God created it this way for a purpose, so that He is glorified and magnified as the one who cares for us, His sheep. And that's why He does this. And there's comfort in that too. If at all it was for us or dependent upon us, we would have no hope that God would be our good shepherd. But He willingly does this. He chooses to do this from all eternity, that He would be glorified and magnified. And so we receive great hope and comfort today in this, in the parenting we have with these children that God has entrusted to our care for a while, with the children that we no longer have with us either. What hope and comfort we have. We have the hope and comfort of knowing the Good Shepherd and His perfect care. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this word of hope and comfort to us. And we pray, O Lord, that will fill our hearts with the knowledge of what we have in Jesus Christ under His care, His perfect care. So strengthen us as parents. We need to be led, Father, as parents, in the high calling we have to instruct our children. Strengthen us for this high calling we have. May we reflect the mercy and the tenderness of Thee, our God. We pray also that will bless and care for these children, these lambs of the church. Father, in our worries and our cares and our concerns, wilt Thou teach us to trust in Thee, even as children and young people, because Thou art a faithful shepherd. Now, Father, continue to go with us in this day. Strengthen us that we may enjoy rest in our fellowship with each other and our fellowship with Thee as well. We pray this all for Jesus' sake. Amen.